Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, the co-host, and with me today will be Mike Gregg. In this episode, we will be looking back at the transfer window for Fulham as we will be discussing the players who've come and some who have gone. We have much to get through, but before we get started, I have to welcome my co-host to the show, Mr. Mike Gregg. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Good to speak to you this evening. Looking forward to
it's
the show.
It's great to speak. I was going to say, it's great to speak to you, Mike. We've struggled to connect to do a show. Now we can finally do a show, my friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, we've had a few false starts over the last weekend, but I'm looking forward to, you know, talking about the transfers, the end of the window, and looking forward with a new team almost.
Absolutely, and that's what's interesting about the transfer window, and we're going to go through all 12 editions because this is a brand new team. I mean, again, they've been playing a few matches, but the additions that have come, you know, again, there've been several additions, like I mentioned, 12, and this is a brand new team from last season, and you will see that when we go through and break them all down. And I look forward to doing this with you, Mike. And at the end, we could possibly mention some players that have left the club as well, but I really want to focus more on the additions. And before we do, I want to mention this because several fans have written some great articles. And I want to recommend everyone going to hamian.com. Two great articles by Frankie Taylor and also by Dan Crawford. One about the transfer window and the other one about Mike Gregg. Please do go to hamian.com and read those articles because both of them are excellent. There have been several really good articles about the transfer window. But what's great is that I could talk to you about it. We can actually talk about the window. And let's get going. Let's now start with a goalkeeper, and let's talk about Andy Lonergan. And I wanted to talk about him, talk about the player he replaced from last season and his impact.
Well, Andy Lonergan, he's been around a long time, and he was signed, you know, pretty much smack bang in the middle of the summer, and he replaced Mr. Pajama Man, as we know, who also left us. And so if you're looking at just, you know, one-on-one, have we got a better replacement? Then easily yes. And with Bettinelli's injury, you know, Lonergan's going to be the number one choice going forward. That's for sure. And, you know, we've had Lewis come in as well now as his backup. And he's an experienced keeper. So goalkeeping-wise, you know, for a free transfer for Lonergan, for a loan for Lewis, and replacing Corrali, who's left, Steckenberg is on loan, and, you know, Jean-Marie's gone out on loan as well. I think we're in a much better position. It's sad to lose Bettinelli with his injury, and we, of course, wish him all the best because I know he had his operation, I think, yesterday or the day before. But we're in safe hands in goalkeeping-wise. And Lonergan, in his four games, he's been the VVL Fulham man of the match twice. I do a box out of 10, which people vote on. And that's just shown how important he's already been this early in the season.
Listen, I agree with that, Mike. And it's funny because I was talking to Matt Smith about this morning and talking about the confidence of Andy Lonergan. I want to talk about that with you because I'm curious your thoughts on this. Do you think that his presence, you know, again, because he's a confident goalkeeper, affects the back four as well? And they're doing a better job possibly because, well, partially because of the confidence of Andy Lonergan as your starting goalkeeper right now.
Absolutely, and he's experienced, and I've been lucky enough. Certainly at the Rob game, you're very close to the goalkeepers, and you can hear him shouting. And you just look back to last year when we had inexperienced Bettinelli, inexperienced Jean-Marie, Corrali, no one had any confidence. And just to have a bloke who, he's a big man and commands the area, he has his faults like any goalkeeper, but what he's shown already is that he commands the area, is a very good shot stopper, and we should have, I've not seen any errors from him yet, but we should all have faith in him as fans, and that transfers onto the pitch, and it's got to be more than a coincidence that you know, we seem a bit more solid. It's not, again, it's not perfect, but his experience from the Championship especially is going to be an absolute asset for us.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because when you think about this, I remember when he first came to us, Mike, and I'm thinking, okay, well, it's an upgrade over Corrali, which is a good thing. I didn't, you know, again, you couldn't project the injury to Marcus Bettinelli. And I've talked about this with Matt, and I said, you know, again, not that we have a goalkeeper controversy, as you would say in England, but is it safe to say that Kit has two solid options now once Bettinelli returns?
Yes, and, you know, Lonergan, I think, has surprised a number of us, really. I mean, he has been around for a long time. He's never really reached the heights that was expected of him when he was younger. And I'd recommend people have a look at the video after, what was it, last week's match, which is on the Fulham website. And he just shows that he's a leader at the back, you know, and that's what we were missing last year. Just that experience, that 31-year-old to, you know, look around at these young players and just give them some advice and an arm around the shoulder and that type of thing. So I'm very, very happy with Lonergan, what he's done. So well, I'm also happy, like I say, I'm also happy with Lewis as yep. well. And so, yeah, we're fine in that particular position now. No worries that you know, Crowley's going to have to come in and we're going to let in four or five goals at all. Because no one had any confidence in him. The management
right.
never. Bettinelli had an injury towards the end of last season and was playing through that just so that Corrali would not play. And that just shows you how much or how little confidence the club had in him. And it all goes back to Mad McGaff and the players that he signed in the window last year, which
yeah.
you know, we've done a hell of a good job to sort out so far.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, that's what's going to be interesting going through these lists of additions, because we could talk about the players that they've replaced, and Lonergan obviously has become an asset, and that's what's wonderful about his addition. I'm glad that you mentioned Lewis, and let's talk about them as a combo, Mike. Let's rate the additions of these two goalkeepers together. What would you rate them on a scale of, say, 0 to 10?
Well, I'd have to give Lonergan certainly an 8 at the moment on his appearances that he's made. With Lewis, it's a difficult one. I mean, I'd just give him a 6. But I would be quite happy when I see him. You know, he's going to get a game. He's bound to. But I'm confident that he will do a good job. So, yeah, Lonergan 8 out of 10, Lewis 6 out of 10.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, Mike, let's move on. Let's now talk about Ben Pringle. And what's interesting about Ben Pringle is there was so much speculation about several teams interested in Ben Pringle, and he was going to be coming to any team on a free. And, you know, again, what's interesting, Ben Pringle was another player of the season. We're going to be talking about several player of the seasons. He was one of them. And I just, you know, again, I remember him playing against us last year and thinking, boy, would he look good on the left-hand side of the midfield for Fulham. And talk about his impact so far and again, what he has meant compared to, say, last season.
Well, I mean, we've spoken about his signing and his stats and how well he did last year. And certainly in those two games which I saw him playing, he was the best player for Rotherham and gave so much trouble. Stands out with his blonde hair and his busy sort of playing style. And so very pleased to get him on a free transfer. What we've seen so far hasn't been to the levels that we probably expected, but he has shown flashes of his, you know, that great left foot that he's got, both from set pieces and from out wide on the left. He's not a winger in the sense that he's going to take fullbacks on and get that cross in. He hasn't got that kind of pace. And but I think him linking up with Husband on Saturday showed that with a proper left back behind him and that he can link up with, which unfortunately Voza could not do, you know, basically because he's right footed, so he couldn't, you know, go on the outside and help Ingle in that way. I think we're going to finally see him now show what we all thought he had. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the games coming up and him sort of, you know, reproducing that form which he showed against us. And it can only be to the good of the team as well and for himself. And he's going to come in with the goals like he did as well. You know, it's always a good instinct, I think, to see people follow up, you know, crosses coming in and he picked up the save, you know, the ball was saved the other day and then he put the goal away. And so, yeah, really happy with Pringle.
Yeah, so am I, Mike. And what's interesting, again, I'm going to reference back to my conversation earlier with Matt. And he was talking about the influence that James Husband potentially has now moving forward, or possibly Luke Garbutt at a left back, helping out Pringle because, you know, we were talking about that first goal and how maybe he would not have been in that position if it wasn't for Husband. You know, again, he now gave him the ability to go more forward. So maybe he's not there finishing off, Mike. So again, this goes back to, like, partnerships. And we've talked about this a great deal. We'll be talking about James Husband coming up. But what's interesting, and you actually alerted me to this, I went back and I checked all of the average positions of all the matches so far. And the last match, everything was a partnership. There were pairs all over the pitch, which I think is a great sign. And those two were paired up. And I think that, you know, again, I think that James Husband or, like I said, Luke Garbutt could really help him out, Mike. But you really saw that in that last match.
Yeah, and that average position map was very unusual, I have to say. But I think what it does is if people look at that and they see two players with their numbers overlapping, what that means is, you know, they're replacing each other, which all good partnerships should do. So if a left back gets forward and gets down a wing and, you know, to the byline, then that left midfielder, you know, or, you know, should be the one coming back to fill in. So they're almost covering the same space. But the good thing, and if you watch the game on replay, you see that they're passing the ball in all those pairs. You know, it's Tunnicliffe, O'Hara, Richards and Kearney, and the two centre backs did well, as you know, and Dembele and McCormack. So throughout the pitch, we had those partnerships, and yeah. The first time I've seen us have a map like that following a game for a very long time, and it was good to see. And although Husband is only here at the moment for a month, even with Garbutt coming in, you know, it's all about, you know, getting the best out of Pringle, who, you know, technically he's coming. He hasn't really replaced anyone. We've still got Kaku, who played on the left. Kavanagh hasn't seen any action. And, you know, we played Ross on the left a lot. So, you know, that position now is between really Pringle and Kaku, probably.
Right.
And so are we stronger? Looking back at last year's lineups, then you have to say yes, because Pringle is a left midfielder way more than Kavanagh is. And, you know, it's competition for Kaká as well. And also means that we don't need to put Ross out on the left. So
very happy with Pringle.
I think Saturday is going to be a turning point for him. And, you know, with the goal, his performance. And I think Kit, if he took him off at the end of the game for the round of applause from both sets of support, then that was good management, something that we do criticise it for. But he got it spot on Saturday. So with Pringle, I'm going to give him, because he hasn't quite produced what he's done yet, you know, performance-wise, he's probably a 7. But, you know, as a signing, then I'm going to have to give him an 8 as well.
Okay. And, you know, and again, what's interesting, the first two players we've talked about are free, and it's good business. You know, again, I've heard, you know, again, I've seen on, I shouldn't say heard, I've seen on social media some criticism of the lack of spending, and there's nothing wrong with free transfers, Mike. I know you'll back me on this because, again, if they're a good fit, who cares if it's a free transfer? It doesn't mean that they're not a good player. You're trying to find the right players, and I think the first two that we've talked about are definitely the right players for Fulham Football Club, and there's nothing wrong with the fact that they're free transfers. And now let's move on to a player that actually did cost some money. It's Tom Kearney, and he's on the right side of the midfield. Let's talk about him and his impact so far.
Well, Kearney, he's been the most expensive signing of the summer for us, and, you know, I was very happy when we signed him. I've watched him on TV enough times with Blackburn to realise what he can produce. I think we're all a little bit disappointed he's had to play wide right again, not a winger. But he's already shown with a couple of his goals, and when he has actually got into the centre of the pitch and starts moving that ball around, what a good player he is. And I think he's finding his feet in a slightly different role, but he is a really, really good player. I've got him down as I've got him down as going to be the player of the season.
Wow.
I don't think any of us expected O'Hara to do as well, and we'll talk about him later. But I've always had Kearney as my, you know, if we do well, he will end up being player of the year because he will be so key to it and produce an awful lot. You know, we've already seen the two goals. He's got to be good for probably 6 to 8 goals throughout the season. And his passing range keeps the ball moving. And I don't see him in a midfield two. I can see him in a midfield three, but at the moment, wide right, he's a player who can play in those two positions. He's even played as a number 10 behind one striker. So for me, absolutely key signing. But it's important that we find the right back to play with him. Just as we were talking about Pringle, is it going to be Richards? Is it going to be Fredericks or whoever? Because he's not going to get down to that byline, the right back is key to how Kearney plays and what he produces as well.
That's a very good point. And, Mike, you know, going down this list, I'm going to ask you, is he the most talented addition to the squad?
I think he's the most, I would say he's the most skillful. And we're talking about players who have been replaced. Ruiz as lifters, you know, and half the fans loved him, the other half didn't. I would hope the majority understand that it was probably best for him to go. But, you know, Kearney is not Ruiz, but he is certainly a player who produces an awful lot of what Ruiz did last year. You know, Ruiz was that person with the assists or the, you know, the ball to someone to make the goal, that type of thing. And that's where Kearney's going to be, isn't it? He's not going to have many assists, but he's going to be involved in build-ups an awful lot, which is what Ruiz did.
Okay, very good. Give him a rating, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an 8.5, actually. Even though he hasn't produced an awful lot, his two spectacular goals have been great, and he's finding it in a different position, finding his feet. But, yeah, I really rate Kearney a lot.
Okay, very good. You know what I'm thinking about, Mike, just, you know, again, for the sake of us, you know, putting this whole show together, I'm going to try to put players together by position. We started out with the goalkeepers. I think it could be helpful as we continue our discussion here. So let's talk about Jazz Richards and also Ryan Fredericks together, because I want to get your thoughts on both of them. Let's compare and contrast, and also the player or players that, you know, from last season, to compare them again. So let's start with Jazz, and then let's move right over to Ryan Fredericks.
Okay, so Jazz Richards, and listeners to the show will know I'm not his greatest fan, and I was disappointed that we signed him. I mean, he played 14, 15 games last year, and I wasn't that impressed. Was it because he was keeping out one of my favourite players, Grimmer?
Possibly.
Maybe it was, maybe. I mean, we didn't spend an awful lot on him. I think it was about £500,000. And he's come in, he's done okay, but he's given away a dreadful penalty at Crawley in a pre-season friendly, and then he's done a carbon copy on Saturday. He's made another couple of mistakes as well. But then on the other hand, you know, he put the cross in the other day for Dembele to header down, so
right.
Which led to Pringle's goal. So he's happy going forward. So can he be that player to help Cairney? I think he can, but he needs to have that freedom. I think when he's sort of doing his day job, if you like, as a right back, you don't see what he really offers. He needs to have that freedom to get down the wing and get the crosses in, which is, you know, the best part of his game. He needs to improve his defending, though. He lets players get on the outside of him and past, and that's why we've seen him give away penalties the way he does, which is the players got past him into the box and he takes them out. He's got to learn to stand up a bit more to these wingers and try and shepherd them away from the penalty box or get the tackle in earlier, because he just has it in him. I think he did it a couple of times last season as well. But, you know, for £500,000, he's settled in. He knows the club. He's replaced Hoogland, if you like. And whereas Hoogland, he could do a job probably in centre and midfield better than he could do right back. Hoogland was a dreadful right back. So, in a way, again, it's an improvement on the team of last year. So, with Richards, despite my reservations of having him, I would give him a 7.
Wow. Impressive, Mike. Giving Jazz Richards a 7. You know, and I think you really analyzed him great, you know, because I'm listening to you. You criticized where he needed to be criticized, but you also praised him on the crossing. And honestly, he has been a little better on the crossing, but he needs work, seriously, on his defense. I couldn't agree with you more. All right, let's follow that up. We're talking about a player, you know, again, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that much about him. I remember him playing for Middlesbrough a little bit. But what are your thoughts about bringing in Ryan Fredericks?
Well, I think it's a player. I understand he's a player that we've looked at for quite a while. You know, all clubs have lists of players they keep an eye on and scout. And I'll be honest, I don't recall seeing him. I mean, he may well have played against us. I probably watched him on TV. But he doesn't spring to mind. It might be when I see him live. But understanding is that he has a lot of pace. And, you know, it's a bit odd going to a team and then a month later getting another transfer. But
Very strange.
These things do happen. You know, players don't settle or there's another issue. But he's back in London, and again, it hasn't cost us that much money. It does mean we have, you know, potentially with Grimmer, you know, once he's back fit, you know, three youngish, you know, under 23 years old, you know, players who can play right back. I understand Fredericks can play as a right winger as well.
Right.
So a little bit of utility there, but it does make me worry a little bit about Jack, obviously, because I have a soft spot for him. But it's competition again, and at the moment,
right.
Richards doesn't have that. And you know, let's see how this lad does. It's not going to cost us an awful lot of money, and pace is something we're lacking. So if he can
Absolutely,
bring that,
Mike.
Can bring that, even as a right winger, you know, coming on as a sub late in a game, then it will do us good. So with him, because I don't know him that well, I'll give him a 6.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
I am too, and I'm glad that you brought up his flexibility to play right winger, because, again, it also gets me to think that Kit now has options to change formations, Mike, if he wants. And we can also mention Sean Kavanagh on the other side, who has that flexibility. So you have a couple of fullbacks that can also play in the midfield, and I think that's great to have. You know, again, options. Kit has options. You were talking about Tom Kearney. You know, again, if Kit decides he wants to change the formation, maybe you move him more central. Again, this is all good things. Having players that can play multiple positions, you know, I love that. I still miss Chris Baird. I love Chris Baird because he could play several positions, and I think he was a very valuable player. And if you can have players that can play multiple positions, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. All right, let's move on, Mike. Let's talk about the player I am dying to talk to you about. I'm going to say this right now. I think he might be the steal of the entire transfer window in the championship, and that's Jamie O'Hara. Talk about what he has meant to Fulham. And, again, we could talk about who he's replaced. You know, Scott Parker will be back. But let's talk about his impact overall. And I definitely want a rating for you on him.
Well, he's been a revelation, hasn't he, to so many people. I think there's no doubt that everyone knows who O'Hara was, you know, how well he was doing when he was younger, but he lost his way. I've mentioned it on the show before. I saw him 2 years ago at Moss Park play for Wolves, and quite frankly, he was an embarrassment. But he did well at Blackpool, and then you read, you know, the stories of how he ended up at Fulham, you know, ringing Kit Simons, coming down, working hard during pre-season. And now, you know, after lots of people on forums and Twitter and even on this show saying, you know, oh, yeah, he'll be sub, he'll get a few games here and there, and we'll see what he does. He's absolutely key. You can't see as, you know, if we're going to challenge top six, do you see a team where O'Hara isn't going to be playing? Which is no.
Oh, he has to be in there, Mike.
Yeah, he is. We have that player who's replaced. He's not replaced Parker. He's not replaced LVC.
I know who he's replaced. But go ahead.
He's replaced Murphy.
Yes.
Finally.
And, absolutely.
He's as close to Murphy as we're ever going to get. And again, for a free signing. For a player who was hungry, looking for a club to get back to London, he's done everything that he's had to do. And, you know, I had a brief conversation with someone today about his contract and whether they should look at extending already. Personally, I'd wait until November. Let's keep him hungry. Let's keep him wanting to play. And he has a good rapport with the fans already on Twitter and with the crowd as a whole. And our job is to keep him fit, or I should say the club's job is to keep him fit and keep him involved. I think he's somebody who, you know, has to be playing to get the best out of him. And, yeah, been absolutely impressed. And, you know, walking away with the official club's Man of the Match awards pretty much, and probably a shoo-in for Player of the Year already in some areas. But, great signing, and you have to give that to Kit, really. You know, we've spoken about Mike Rigg, or we will do a little bit, but this is all down to Kit, because O'Hara is the one who called him. This isn't a stats thing. This is purely down to the manager giving him a chance.
It's a great story. You know, again, coming to the team, you know, the way that he came in, and yes, you have to give Kit credit. And what's interesting, Mike, you know, talked about this, watching back the replay of the last match, the one thing that really caught my eye, I saw all the passes by O'Hara, but there was one pass. I'm telling you, I thought of Danny Murphy right away, where he got the ball and he just sent it down the left-hand side. I'm like, it was so much like Danny Murphy, Mike. I'm like, okay, I now see it. I completely see the Danny Murphy comparison. We now have our Danny Murphy replacement, Mike. That match really just emphasized it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's looking to get the ball wide every time. I mean, if you're watching quite closely, he's not really playing the balls through the middle. He is definitely, the game plan is to, you know, get it wide to Kearney, to Pringle, or to the fullbacks, and he's forever moving the ball. He's a very busy player. You watch, having watched the game from behind the goals, I've seen every game so far, and he is just covering that whole width of the pitch in the middle. And then we saw on Saturday, he ended up on the right wing, did a brilliant Cruyff turn, got down to the byline, and found Woodrow with that pass as well. So, you know, even in the last third of the pitch, he can produce something for us.
Absolutely. And one thing that I noticed on that, and again, that was a great move by him, going back to Colly Woodrow, again, this is just something that I noticed that I talked to Matt about that I thought you'd be curious about. Instincts of Colly Woodrow on this goal to basically point to Jamie O'Hara where he wanted it, and he got it right there, and he scored the goal, Mike. I found that great to see a young striker tell someone like Jamie O'Hara where he wanted it, and O'Hara got it right there, Mike.
Well, Woodrow is a very intelligent player. He doesn't have the pace of Dembele or the strength even. But what Woodrow, if you want comparisons, and this is a big comparison, the closest he is probably to Sheringham in the fact that he doesn't have the pace, but he has the intelligence. So you watched Sheringham at his best. He would, you know, peel away from the defenders or find that little bit of space to give him a chance to get them. And you watch the goal the other day, that is exactly what Woodrow does. The two defenders go far too deep. Woodrow realises that and comes back out, leaving himself unmarked. And, yes, I want the ball here for me to finish. And O'Hara gives it to him perfectly on a plate. And he's still got to put the ball in the net, which he does. And I know there's a debate about Woodrow and Dembele, or is Woodrow, you know, some people don't rate either of them. Me personally, like them both, and I'm very happy with them being second or third choice, if you like, at the moment. And I've got complete faith in it. If they can get a run of 15 to 20 games between them between now and Christmas, you're going to see them develop so much more than going out on loan or being subs. And coming on, you know, while we bring someone else in. And, you know, they're both footballers as well. And O'Hara is absolutely, you know, the right player to play to Woodrow's strengths and also to Dembele's strengths as well.
Right.
You know, because
and
because
I've
he
noticed
can
that
play.
As well. You know, again, it's not just about what he has done for, say, Colly Woodrow. I'm glad that you brought up Moussa Dembele. They're different strikers. But he plays to their strengths, Mike. That's what, again, going back to talking about the impact of Jamie O'Hara, who has to play in every match, and be interesting to see what happens when Scotty Parker comes back. But I'm sorry, Jamie O'Hara has been phenomenal. And just watching back this last replay, and I've watched all of them, but this one really just emphasized to me the Murphy comparison, but more importantly, the impact that this player has and why he excites me about the potential that Fulham have, because I think Jamie O'Hara is a major key to what they're going to do this season. So, Mike, rate the addition of Jamie O'Hara.
Well, performance-wise, it's and, you know, as a sign-in, you've got to give him a 10, haven't you? You know, it's, you know, it's a free, and you've got the Murphy
another
replacement.
Yeah.
He's performed better than anyone expected. And like I say, you can't see the team without him. So you look at players like Parker, or Parker, Tunnicliffe, LVC, they're all fighting for one position currently. And we talk about Kearney trying to get in the middle. Where's he going to fit? So O'Hara has that locked in. He has one of the two midfield roles locked in for himself as long as he can continue performing like this. And I've not seen a dip over the five games that he's played. You know, each game he's had a very, you know, either outstanding or very good performance. I haven't seen an average performance from him yet.
That's great. That's, you know, again, that's why, you know, people ask me, why are you so excited about the season? And again, it's young. They've stumbled. They haven't come out as strong as I had hoped. But one of the reasons why I'm feeling pretty good is Jamie O'Hara, is the play of Jamie O'Hara. All right, Mike, I'm going to do things a little bit differently because I want to talk about the two center backs and the two left backs together. Before we do that, I just want to get your thoughts. We don't have to spend too much time, but I want to talk a little bit about Sakari Matilla because, again, he's a player that not too many of us knew and know, and he comes to Fulham. It sounds like he wanted to come to Fulham. He was interested in Fulham way back when, so I find it interesting. He is a defensive midfielder. What are your thoughts about the signing of him?
Well, it, you can't have a window without an odd European joining us, you know, that no one knows, doesn't have a Wikipedia page, you know. So yeah, I mean, I've seen him play very briefly against Wickham, and I think he touched the ball once. Very tall, quite thin, but maybe that's just sort of a gangly look that he has. It's interesting that he's been on the bench every game apart from, I think, the cup game where he was ill. So again, they see him key, you know, to the match day squad and what he can offer. And I'm sure we're going to see him play very, very shortly. And it's
I guess I lost Mike there. Okay, hopefully Mike will be calling back in and we'll keep this thing going. Let's see here. Hopefully there's a problem. Mike, please just try dialing back in. And it's unfortunate that we had he just fell off the line while we were talking about Sakari Matilla. And while I wait for Mike to dial back in, hopefully he'll be able to dial back in shortly. Let's talk about the two left backs that have come in. We're going to talk about Luke Garbutt and Luke Garbutt and James Husband. Looks like Mike is back with us. Mike, are you back with us?
Yes. Can you hear me, Russ? I'm not sure what happened.
I can hear you. I saw that you dropped off, and I was like, whoa. Let's hope that the episode didn't end by accident, but I don't think it did. I think we're okay. You know, it's going to happen. You know, if it happens, you know, just dial right back in there. But we've actually done pretty good, Mike. We've had about 35 minutes of no problems. So, so knock on wood. Hopefully we don't have any more. This is our first little hiccup there. We were talking a little bit about Sakari Matilla. And, you know, overall, just real quick, give him a rating.
Well, I can only give him a 5 because I've not seen enough of him. But you know, I think I got cut off just before I was saying it. We can't lose on it. Very small fee, probably not huge wages. So we just see how many times he plays for us. And you've got to have faith in the club. All the signings that we're talking about, there have been no duds so far. So maybe he'll turn out to be a bonus.
Right, exactly. That's the way I look at it. You never know what you're going to get with this player. It's, you know, again, it's just a, we'll see what happens with Sakari Matilla, but I have no problem with them bringing him in. All right, Mike, let's now talk about the two left backs. Okay, we have Luke Garbutt and James Husband. Let's start with Luke Garbutt. Luke Garbutt, again, a season-long loan from Everton, highly regarded player. Unfortunately, got injured before the season began in a friendly, and we haven't seen him since. He is expected to come back probably sometime at the end of the month. I would think that Luke Garbutt will be back with us. But what's interesting, we've also brought in James Husband for a month-long loan, and he's already had an impact. So let's talk about these players and also the left backs from last season. Compare them to them.
Well, I'll start with last season. So left back was a difficult position. We had Staffelidis play there. You know, he was exciting at times, but then also falling asleep in the box when we were being attacked. So, leading quite a number of goals again. A couple of penalties he gave away. Far too inexperienced, and he just didn't push on as the season went. And Kavanagh, who really is a left back, you know, tended to play more as a left midfielder. And then Amberetta was the other player who played at left back. And we all have our opinions on him, and he's left the club for whatever reasons. And, you know, we might still see him back next year, but I very much doubt it. So and then we had Husband come in. So let's talk about him.
Yep.
Did excellently when he was here. We were all excited. He's got pace. He gets in the box. He's won penalties last year, and he's won a penalty already in his first game. And he was the initial target this year to buy, and Borough were just not budging, and you know, we had to find a left back, and Garbutt, who I've seen play for the under 21s, is an excellent prospect. You know, he doesn't have experience either, but he's coming from a Premier League team our club is a year more experienced, if you like, in the Championship. And from the little run out that I saw against Palace, he looked very useful. He'll be back probably within, you know, next 4 to 6 weeks. And so with Husband, the fact that we got a chance to just bring him in for a month, which hopefully we could extend for maybe another month just to make sure Garber is fully fit. And we've got two very good young attacking left backs, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier about helping Pringle. And,
right.
And you know, Vose has done an okay job at left back for those games that he's played, but it's clear we need players who can take people on straight to the byline, and these two guys can do that.
Absolutely, Mike. And what's interesting about this, because I definitely want you to rate both of these players, James Husband is only going to be with Fulham pretty much, it sounds like, until Luke Garbutt is better. And what do you do if your kid, if James Husband keeps playing so well? You know, is there something you could do? You've tweeted a little bit about that. It is kind of silly to have two players on loan, and it doesn't sound like, based on the loan last season and this season, that Middlesbrough would be willing to sell. But what do you do if, you know, what do you do if you're Mike Rigg and Fulham, if he continues to play well? You know, do you try to see if he can make a deal, or do you just, you know, let him go back to Middlesbrough? I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Well, it's an interesting one, really, isn't it? I mean, first of all, would Borough allow us to have him longer? So that's one question. But we've put our faith in Garber. You know, we've signed him up for a year's loan.
Right.
You're not allowed to guarantee that players are going to play, but you know, it's unwritten. You know, if we're going to loan you a player, he's going to be in your team. And so for us to renege on that, I feel it would feel a bit bad. And Husband, like I say, he was the first choice. But if you can't, you know, we've gone with Garbett. So I think you'd find it almost impossible to loan the two players. That's not to say... If we really, really want him and rate him, that we couldn't go back in January and try and buy him. You know?
Right.
I think long term, we're talking long term, so into next season, you've got to say if we can get Husband at all, if there's an inkling we can get him, then I think you have to take it because, you know, Garbutt won't be here next season.
Right. Right, Mike. And what's interesting, you know, again, some players just fit. He fits like a glove with Fulham football. It just works. You know, again, maybe it works with Middlesbrough. I haven't seen him play for Middlesbrough, but for whatever reason, he fits into what Fulham are doing right now. He gives us what we need. And that's what makes this situation difficult a little bit, because I have a feeling, based on what I saw from last season and what we've seen so far, Mike, he's going to continue to perform. And then what happens when Garbutt is good to go? You know, you're probably going to have to go with Garbutt.
Yeah, and, you know, that's not going to be a disaster because Garbutt's a good player. But
he is.
There's no way that we should, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't waste another loan on having two left-backs. It just doesn't make sense. And like I say, you're going to upset one of the teams, or certainly one of the players. And I think it's a waste of resource. It would be great. But I think the best bet is to look at Husband, see how he does, and then go back in January and try and buy him. And, you know, it would be give us two options for the second half of the season, which is hopefully we'll be pushing for, you know, at least, you know, a playoff place. And
right.
So you'll need all hands on deck. But I think he's only going to be here for September, maybe into October, but I don't see him beyond that, really.
Yeah, you know, again, I've just been thinking about this after watching the match and thinking about last season. It's like, what do you do? But you're right, though, because, you know, again, you have this player, Luke Garber, who is very talented and, you know, can probably do a very good job for Fulham. It's not that he's not a talented player. It's just that you've seen the fit now with James' husband. It's just, you know, I guess it's a good problem to have two talented players at left back where we've had issues at left back, Mike. But you know, that's the only reason why I brought it up. It's just an interesting situation. If I'm Fulham and they really like what he's offered, I would definitely go in for him in January. I agree with you on that. Because
almost certainly Everton would have a recall for Garbutt, you know, within the contract. Now, you can only recall a season-long loan, apart from goalkeepers, a season-long loan within the window. So there could be some kind of, you know, if Husband does well and we want him and Borough are willing to listen to offers, there is a way that in January Garbutt could go back to Everton, end the loan, and we get Husband, you know. So that could be a possibility. And also, if Husband does well, that puts an awful lot of pressure on Garbutt when he does get into the team to produce the same as well.
It does. You know, again, it goes back to competition, but one player more than likely will be gone, and that would be obviously James Husband because it's a short-term loan. But it's just an interesting thing for us to follow because I just like what I've seen from James Husband. I actually wanted Fulham to go in for him this summer transfer window. I was always wondering, why were we not hearing about James Husband? And it's funny because you DM'd me when it happened. You kind of had an inkling that something was going to happen, and you were right, my friend. And I'm just, you know, I'm just glad that he's with us, and I have a feeling he's going to continually to play well for us. All right, let's move on. I want to focus now on the two center backs because, listen, we've had issues with center backs. I do want to give Dan Byrne and Sean Hutchinson some credit. I think they played well so far this season. And, you know, listen, I'm glad that Dan Byrne is still with Fulham Football Club. You know, there was speculation that there wasn't another team interested in him at the very end of the transfer window. I'm glad that Dan Byrne is back with Fulham. I'm also glad that Sean Hutchinson is a Fulham Football Club player as well. But I am also glad that they brought in two center backs. Let's be honest here. I think they needed to upgrade the position. Mike, I think they've done it. Let's talk about these two players, Tim Ream and Richard Stearman.
Okay, and I'll just mention the other center back you've not mentioned, which is Bodroff, who is yes, we now have five center backs, and having now seen Ream play a couple of games, I'm very impressed by him. He's a person who I watched the cup game with last week said looks a proper footballer, and that is true. I believe he has played in midfield as well, and he looks comfortable on the ball. Yeah, he looks comfortable on the ball. I think him and Byrne have done well together. They, you know, they've got a nice little understanding, and he's been playing on the right hand side. And I'm very impressed by Ream. We've got to see him play against the really good teams, like any of these players. But so far, I've been very impressed, and I'm not interested in putting him at left back or other positions, which, you know, people have mentioned. I see him just purely as a centre back, and I'm very impressed by him. And again, you know, he's one of those old player of the years from his previous team, loads of championship experience.
Right.
I think he may have cost us 1.5, maybe 2 million, if that. And again, that looks a bargain, you know. When people talk about buying Dunk, you know, because we haven't mentioned him, he's the player we went after. And I have it on very, very good authority. We were looking at him from March this year onwards, and we got close to doing a deal, but Brighton kept moving the goalposts, and you know, in the end, they just said, you know, we're not going to sell him. And the same with Brentford lad. Tarkowski. Again, they wouldn't sell him. And it's interesting, a lot of the players we've been linked with, they've not moved. So, you know, these clubs, have they just been playing us along or just asking too much? And if I said that Brighton even said, you know, even if you gave us 7 or 8 million, we still wouldn't be interested, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think they had any intention of selling him. So in the end, we've got Ream and Stearman for the for what we were going to pay with Dunk. So have we got the better deal by getting these two players in? And I'm someone who would rather spend that $5 million on two decent centre backs than one, because I was always worried that, okay, we put all the money in the pot, we buy one centre back, then you have Dan Burn, Hutchinson and Bodroff all fighting for that other one position. What happens if that centre back gets injured? You've still got the original centre backs from last year. And as much as I like Dan Burn, you know, those three defenders, you can perm any two from three and they're just not good enough. But playing right. with Ream or even playing with Sturman, maybe they're okay. But so, you know, Ream, absolute asset. Sturman, I've seen him play against him many times. He's a big man. He's going to get another player who can play centre-back or even right-back as well at a push. And he's going to, you know, he's a leader. We've got lots of leaders in this team as well, not only experience.
Absolutely.
And it reminds us a lot of Roy's team. You know, team of captains. And that's what you're almost getting now. And although I don't think Kit's got it in him, you look at those three centre-backs, you could look at four centre-backs.
Mike, I was actually, believe it or not, I was thinking about that, but I don't know if he would go there, but you have that option if you wanted to go there.
You can go to five at the back, or three centre-backs and the two wing-backs, because you have got Husbands, you've got Richards, Richards is probably a better player as a wing-back, and then you've got Fredericks as well with his pace. So lots of options, lots of not utility players in your favourite players sort of way as in bed, but players who can play centre back, they can play full back if pushed, maybe even defensive midfielder, a couple of them. But you know, formation wise, we can match teams. The only thing that people are moaning about in a way about this transfer window is lack of pace. Lack of wingers, and I think we have to look at it. We're playing with the fullbacks as the wingers, but then we also have Kaká, who, you know, blows hot and cold. Williams,
how about George Williams?
Yeah, he's back training. So for a team which, you know, is not playing with natural wingers, we still have options, and that's what this window has done. It's brought in experience. Lots of different options, lots of leaders.
Yeah.
For not a great outlay. And again,
that's
there's
what's
criticism
crazy about this, Mike. You know, again, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to bring up this point because I'm glad that you brought up the money laid out. Because I actually was going back and forth with Dan Crawford on this because I wanted him to verify, because he put in his article that if you talk about players that we sold, players going out, players coming in. He said it was $200,000. Was money over that we've actually spent. I'm like, really? It's only that? He goes, yes, it's only that. Is that true, Mike?
Well, it's difficult because you can't get the official figures, but if you go on one particular website, it says we've transfer fees in, transfer fees out, we're showing a profit of 1.6 million, or
wow.
It can be 200, or it can be £200,000 over. Just depends what figures you take. But the biggest criticism, certainly on the main forum I go on, is that we haven't spent big. We've just balanced the books, because we balanced the books by selling Roberts for $5.5 million, Ruiz for $1.5 million. And maybe picked up a couple of $100,000 here and there. What people forget is, okay, we've spent $3.5 million on Kearney, and we've spent, you know, maybe $5 million, $4.5 million on Ream and Sturman, and maybe $1 million on Richards and Fredericks. You know, you go through it all like that, it all adds up. But you have Lonergan, experienced player, on a free transfer. You have Pringle, experienced player, on a free transfer. O'Hara, free transfer. Richards coming down from a Premier League side. Ream and Sturman, two experienced Championship players of their year in the prime of their career. They're not coming
right.
here to earn. They're not coming here to earn £10,000 a week. You know, they're not coming to London to do that. They're not going to get paid 40K, which is what Premier League players get paid. But we're going to be paying them a good whack. The freebies are going to be getting good sign-on fees. And so it's just not as black and white as saying, oh, we only spent 8 million and we brought in 8 million. You know, it really isn't, you know, because our wages will have, the players we've released, all the ones that we've spoken about, the main ones, Ruiz, Rodallega, they would have been on decent wages. But all the other guys, you know, all of Mad McGaff's signings last year would have been on minuscule money. And now we're paying top championship wages to these guys who have come in. And that's where the difference is. So we've had a great window, 12 players in, not an awful lot of money actually spent, you know, because we've balanced it by selling Roberts, if you like.
That's right.
But signing on fees and wages will have still et into our sort of budget, and that's what people are missing.
No, it's a great point. That's why I'm glad that we're ending talking about the financial part of this, because I've heard this too, I've seen this too, about, well, we haven't spent big, but the wages are obviously championship wages. You know, I have a feeling that they're significant, which is good. You know, again, to get these players to come, to get Stearman to come, to get Ream to come, you're going to have to pay them fairly well. And I have a feeling that they have. And that, to me, is something that gets lost, because everyone focuses on the transfer fees. But Mike, it's about balancing everything and running it as a business. And I think that's what they've done. And I love what they've done this window. I'm glad that you brought up the fact of bringing in all these leaders, because I think that's key as well. But listen, we only have 3 minutes left, and unfortunately we really didn't get a chance to talk about some of the players that have gone out. You did mention Brian Ruiz and Pat Robertson, and there are others as well. But why don't we do this? Why don't we real quickly give me an overall rating for the window, Mike? I want your overall rating for all 12 players coming in. And you can factor in the players going out too.
Yeah, so everyone coming in, the actual churn, the turnover of everyone, are we better than we were at the end of the season? And I'm going to have to say, defensively and midfield-wise, we certainly are. Goalkeeper-wise, we are. Striker-wise, no. But I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. We've got to see the results now, and it's too early to say whether it's a 9 or 10 out of 10. But 8 out of 10 for getting in all these players. And now it's down to Kit to mould them into a team so that we can get to January in a good position. And with the money we haven't spent in this window, which we probably still got, you know, 4 or 5 million to spend, then we can use that then to bring in a player or two to push us on for the second half of the season. But we must be in that position, and that's where Kit is going to earn his money now, getting all these good championship leading players to produce a team to make the playoffs at least.
Listen, you know, very good point by you. I think that we've built a nice club here, and we'll see how far that they can go. And I'm encouraged, Mike, by this transfer window. And listen, it's been a pleasure doing this with you, my friend. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, same here, Russ. Lots of false starts over the last week, but sorry about dropping off there. But yeah, really enjoyed it and can't wait to do another show.
I can't wait either. Well, listen, this is what we're going to do, Mike. Just stay on the line as I play our music, because I need you to stay on the line. Just a little heads up. But listen, for Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Mike.
Cheers, Russ.